You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Applies map-based intelligence to the Pentagon and other national security operations. While the Secret Service says it's confident that the whole thing was a mistake, the agency the man works for says it takes the incident seriously. Tim McGuire, Washington.
Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker says he's very interested in a possible run for president in 2016. Walker, who gave a well-received speech to a forum of conservative voters in Des Moines, Iowa last Saturday, set up the committee Our American Revival on January 16th. You're listening to USA Radio News.
With a Sam's Club membership, you get incredible savings every time you shop. Rush into your local club and save on essentials for the big game. Pick up party favorites like a DiGiorno pizza 3-pack for less than $5 a pizza. Tasty pork ribs, just $3.98 a pound. And a 3-pound party pack of delicious Tyson boneless buffalo wings for just $11.98. Plus, join now and get a free welcome package. Join and save. Sam's Club. Life is better when you're in the club. See club for details.
The Pentagon insists no decision has been made in the case of Sergeant Bowie Bergdahl, even as a former military intelligence officer stood by his claim that the Army is charging him with desertion. Bergdahl was released by Taliban-aligned militants last year in exchange for 5 Guantanamo Bay prisoners. Pentagon spokesman Rear Admiral John Kirby said today that Bergdahl's case is still being reviewed, and no charges have been filed. Kirby says Army General Mark Milley will make the final call on whether to charge Bergdahl.
There is no timeline to make that decision, and General Milley is not being put under any pressure to make a decision.
Senate hearings on the nomination of Loretta Lynch to replace outgoing U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder began on Capitol Hill today. Lynch told members of the Senate Judiciary Committee terrorism would be her top priority.
If confirmed, I will work with colleagues across the executive branch to use every available tool to continue disrupting the catastrophic attacks planned against our homeland and to bring terrorists to justice.
Even though the big blizzard predicted by forecasters mostly bypassed New York City, New York Mayor Bill de Blasio was defending his decision to close roads, telling NBC's Today Show, "You can't put a price on safety." The storm did dump the predicted 2 feet of snow on New England, and Boston residents are giving forecasters credit for giving them time to prepare. You're listening to USA Radio News. I'm Bob Kellogg.
The news is sponsored by Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc.
In America, we believe in a future that is better than today. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has been working hard for their clients' futures. Never taking a bailout, helping generations achieve dreams, buy homes, put their kids through college, retire how they want to. Today, Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. They are ready to help you feel more confident about your financial future. Put the strength of a global financial leader to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton, Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you achieve your dreams and goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. That's 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Ameriprise Financial Services, Incorporated. Member FINRA and SIPC.
And the temperature here in beautiful downtown Flemington is 33 degrees. This afternoon, we're looking at a sunny afternoon. The forecast says high of 30, so we've passed that. Tonight, mostly clear with a low of 7. Thursday, 20% chance, slight chance of snow with a high of 33. And Thursday night, a 60% chance of snow likely. And if I could learn to talk, it would be better. Thursday night, the low should be 25. Friday, there's a 20% slight chance of snow with a high of 33. Jeannie Murphy, talented people, is usually here now, but she's running just a little bit late. So I'm going to put on some music. And when she gets here, she'll turn it off.
Thank you. Hi, good afternoon. This is Talented People. I'm Jeannie Murphy. It's 3:15 on the dot, January 28th here on Wednesday. I hope you're having a great day. I'm having a really great day, I have to say. We lived through the blizzard of the century slash not, and now we're here in studio. I'm excited today because we brought back our award-winning author, Doug Snelson. He's a children's author and a poet. And he's going to tell us a little bit about his two books, Who's Got the Face and The Fable of the Snake Named Slim. And I just wanted to say welcome to the show again, Doug.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, Jeannie.
All right. I know. I'm really excited about today. You were here a couple weeks ago. We talked about the books, but I do want to give everybody a little bit of a reminder about the books. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Okay. Well, I'm an independent publisher, and about a decade ago, started my own little company and have written two children's books. One is called Who's Got the Face, about a dog named Face, written in rhyming format. And my adult daughter, I always say my adult daughter, so people that know about the books know that it wasn't a child that made the illustrations, though that could happen, I'm sure. But my adult daughter, who is a shoe designer, did the illustrations. And that is usually I go to schools and I read to kindergarten to second graders, and it's a great book for language skills, a lot of repetition, a lot of interaction. Example, I have a dog, his name is Face. He's got the smiles all over the place. Face struts around with a playful grin. I called him as his day begins, and you'd have to imagine an illustration with Face with a playful grin and me pointing to the teeth on the illustrations, and then the kids all who show me their teeth and their paws, and it goes on and on and on. The second book, called The Fable of the Snake Named Slim, which is a Santa Choice Award winner.
Yay! And ho, ho, ho!
And Slim is also written in a rhyming format. Slim is a wobbler who wants to be a wiggler, and through an event that happens in the backyard of anybody's backyard, Slim is a garter snake, Slim recognizes that his wobbling is his gift. And the message there is that everyone has a gift and that everyone should accept him or herself for who he or she is, even though they still might want to be part of another group. So that's kind of a quick summary of the two books. And I go I go to a lot of elementary schools in the area and have a lot of reading programs K through second grade.
Now, how would someone, if they're interested again in getting in touch with you, how would they go about that?
Well, the beauty of Google my name, Doug Snelson, or Who's Got the Face, and you'll find a website. But you can go to, you could email me at Doug at, and our name of our company is called Petalus, like in flower petal, P-E-T-A-L-O-U-S, Doug at Petalus.com, or if you go on the website, Petalus.com, you could go to info@Petalus.com, and I can send information out, and love to do it. A lot of reference letters, and that's going really well these days. So
congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, when we were here in studio a couple weeks ago and you were talking about your company name, Petalus, the way that I think we ended up having you on today to talk about your poetry is through Petalus.
That's right.
All right. So let's start there. I want to know. Let's remind everybody. I know one of my favorite parts about the last show was about when you were a little kid and you walked around and you pretty much documented everything.
That's correct. That's right.
And so you've always been a writer.
Yes.
And so tell us about how did poetry get integrated into your life?
Well, as you just identified, as a very young child, I loved the sound of words and the sound of rhyming words. And of course, as I got older with music and books, I myself just had to express my joy. I had to express what was in my heart, mind, and my soul by taking a piece of paper and writing, trying to rhyme words. So that's what I did. And if I liked it, I kept it. And if I didn't like it, I threw it away. But most of the stuff I liked, most of the stuff I have, most of the poems that I have, most people would probably throw away. But as an example, I wrote something down here that I wrote 30 years ago. And all I wrote was, I like to rhyme half the time, and when I do, it sounds lousy. And that's very simple, but there's a message there.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm writing that, but there's a message there, which is, you know, you can take that any way you want in terms of your life, rhyming half the time. Well, nobody's life rhymes, you know, half the time, part of the time. You, when I do, it sounds lousy. You just have to deal with what comes to you. So one other thought on that was, when I was very young, my mother had two sons and a daughter, three sons and a daughter, and in correcting us, she would always use very choice words, words that many parents are very familiar with, that can have three, four, or five letters to them. And one day my mother said to me, and you know, most of the time my two brothers and my sister didn't listen to my mother in the way that she would like at times, but one day my mother said, "You are one insipid little boy." And that just stopped me in my tracks. And that was another reason that I was so interested in the exact meaning of words. And that's why I kept on writing. So,
well, I like the way that we talked about this also, when you're with the students and so on, and they hear a new word that they've not ever heard before, and you're giving them an opportunity to stop and think about that word and go figure out what it means, to the point of where it's preoccupying, even over a video game, to find out what it means and then put it in their vocabulary bank.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, I think in the both books that that I've written, we'll use, I use one syllable words, words like chide, and the second book has not only acceptance, but it has an anti-bullying theme to it, and the word chide and snide, one syllable words that actually have very big meaning.
Right.
And I talk about the difference between the word hot and the difference between hot and cold, and all the levels between hot and cold, and then once a child describes that to me, I'll say, well, now let's talk about the word chide, and let's talk about the word snide, and all the little differences in what that means. Because the more a child understands the exact meanings of words, they can understand the behavior of other children who may not be, who may be treating them in a way that makes them feel uncomfortable. So they can identify that, and they can identify that with a word, and they can say, oh, that's what that person's being. That's a snide comment. They're chiding me. Oh, that's their problem, not my problem.
And so, those things are really important, because if a child doesn't understand precisely the meaning, they may subliminally take it the wrong way and walk around forever thinking of it as intended in a different way, when it could be a positive instead of a negative.
That's right. And that's why I encourage children, in supporting the teachers when I go into the schools, to read.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell them to read everything. I tell them, when an author comes in and tells them, I mean, their teachers are telling them, their parents are telling them, parents are probably hopefully reading to their children as well. But I always say to them, I have the best secret in the world. The best secret in the world is, when you read anything, you get smarter. Whatever your level of reading is, you get smarter. And they kind of like that. So reading is where it's all at in terms of understanding words.
Totally agree. So, okay, let's hear some of your poetry. And I loved your poem on God, and that was for all, in my opinion, all ages. You want to start with that one,
Jane? Well, I'm sure.
I would really love everybody, because that's what kind of led us into this today.
Yeah. Well, thank you. This is a non-rhyming poem. Most of the stuff I write is in a rhyming, on a rhyming basis. Not necessarily, but this one is perhaps a little bit more serious. This one is called, "Hi God, How Was Your Day?" Hi God, how was your day? Was it gentler than the stance of a puppy? Did it loom and linger like the grace of one finger touching the nose of love? How did you strengthen the petals of one flower, the rain molding and cleaning the stem to bend with the breath of an autumn yawn? Say, God, were you lonely? And did I see your thoughts drifting with the mist of one sun-kissed cloud? And after you pulled your soft shade on the day's window, did you jog around the planets, pitting dozens of Milky Ways against the blue orb of space? And now will you sleep with the chirp of the stars? If so, then sleep now, God. Sleep with the spirit of life, and I shall watch the sky from my bedside. And that's that poem. Now that poem, I wrote that poem one night when I was 19 years old. I remember that. I woke up in the middle of the night, looked outside, took a pencil, a piece of paper, and I wrote it word for word. And after I wrote it and I looked at it the next morning, I said, all right, Doug, there's something special about that. Now, meanwhile, I've been writing poems and stuff and things that would happen to me and all that. But that when I wrote that one, I said, there's something good there. Hang on to that.
Yeah.
As you go through your life. So I just continued to write. Mm-hmm. And, you know, an artist, you talk to an artist who paints. There's so many amazing writers out there that mm-hmm. none of us will ever hear about. Mm-hmm. Probably people who are listening right now are amazing writers or have written these amazing things. Well, in the end, it brings great joy to them. Mm-hmm. And that's why we have two children who are artists. My feeling is whatever it is that you create, and it doesn't have to be words, it doesn't have to be painting, or pictures. It could be being a doctor, a lawyer. It could be owning a gas station. Whatever it is that you love to do, mm-hmm. be the best at what you have and find the joy in that. So that poem, Hi God, means a lot to me. Now, since to help you, since you are now my friend officially, Jean.
Thank you.
I'm going to read. I'd like to read a poem. It's the only one that I had published and got paid for.
Really?
Because I didn't, I kind of put it on the side. I just kept writing, but I thought, well, you know, I'm doing this for myself. Until 10 years ago when I started to, you know, get active again, first with these books. And now, you know, we're putting a compilation together of my poems. And this was, I worked for a medical publishing company, and the editor liked me, and he was curious as to my background because he liked the way I put proposals and things together. And I always told him that a good business proposal was like poetry, and he agreed with me. So I wrote this poem. It's called I Agained a Friend, which was written for my best buddy.
Can't wait to hear.
Okay, it goes like this. I Agained a Friend, which is nice. We talked until 2, and each one of us knew that a friend's only once, never twice. I agained a friend, which is rare. We rehashed those old times of some wild oats crimes and how easy it is not to care. I agained a friend, which is bad. We both spoke of our hell, and to him I could tell that the heaven of life can be sad. I agained a friend, which is grand. We thanked friend in the sky that we're friends till we die, and we thanked one sweet word, understand. I again to friend, which is nice. We talked until 2, and each one of us knew that a friend's only once, never twice.
Oh, my God. Okay, so this is the one that got published and got paid for?
Now we have my $35.
Hell yeah. Don't turn the page. Don't turn the page. I want to talk about that for a bit. I really actually, I love that so much that I need to have a copy of it, because I had a conversation with my friend and is my dad today, and I need to share that with him.
Oh, you got it.
Okay. So a question. Tell us about how you got published with that, what it means to you, and like, are you just allowed to use it whenever you want, or how does that work? Where did you get published at?
Well, as you know, because I know you're a published author, the every time you write something, essentially it's copyrighted.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as you have copies, and someone once told me, copyright, put the copyright symbol on it, put it in an envelope and mail it to yourself. You can kind of prove it.
But it is a little fun filling out the Library of Congress copyright thing, because it's like nothing, and then you get to go look yourself up. Our kids go look us up.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. Well, now something like this will go in a book, and then that book will be part of the collection.
Mm-hmm.
This one, it was one time use.
Okay.
And you'll have one time use.
I'll just share.
With your father, he can read as many times as
you need to get that published again, but go ahead.
A one-time use, and as you know, authors can request one-time use or multiple times, and if it's published somewhere, you know, that kind of thing. I mean, fortunately, with the internet, so many things can be published. There's so many outstanding writers out there that there's so much information, so many beautiful things and wonderful things that are out there right now. But how it made me feel when I got it published made me feel amazing. Mm-hmm. Absolutely made me feel amazing. And why? Because I keep coming back to this word, Jeannie. I know you agree. It's that joy that you feel. This joy that somehow what you have in your heart, your mind, and soul. I always put those three together. Your heart, your mind, and your soul is validated by the human race.
Yeah, by someone who is qualified to review the material, yes. Also thinking that it's worthy to share.
Yes.
So what about, like, was it a, can you name the publisher? Like, was it one of the ones?
Well,
it was
a small magazine. It was a house.
No, it's a big
at the
deal.
Time it was called the House Organ,
right.
For a company, and they put it on the front cover, and it was it was a theme about relationships, and the first thing they saw was my poem when they turned the cover. And so that was kind of cool. And they had articles about, you know, relationships and things like that. So,
but I know a lot of people out there, you know, never take the step, like poetry.com. There's a lot of things people can do to get published. And it's sometimes the competition. Sometimes you pay to get in. Sometimes you get paid to get back, you know, if you win. But there is a place to start. And I think that's the most important thing to share, that, you know, you did it and they did publish you and they did pay you.
That's right.
And, you know, I'll tell you one thing about, like, nowadays with the internet and with the publishing, when you are published or copyrighted and you have an ownership to your material, and if it is published without your permission, there's damages. And if they do publish it and they continue to keep it up, then there's a very lucrative business involved with the royalties with that control of content now.
That's
where
right.
It's just the same as the, you know, the movie actor guilds and everything else.
Yes.
I mean, there's a very, very strong support for the authors and the guilds.
Or Tom Petty and Sam Smith.
Music.
Stand By, right? The similar music in there. And yeah, I once read that anything Stevie Wonder was talking about his writing, and he said, look, if it's good, it's going to come to the top and it's going to stay up there.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
And also, anytime anybody asks me about writing, I just say, you know, accept who you are, kind of like Slim in the fable of the snake named Slim.
Yeah.
And get it out. If you are rejected on any level, then just keep getting what your personal joy is out into the world. And I read about this all the time. Anyone who wants to write will be published. Anybody who has a good feeling for words and something they want to share, they're going to get good feedback. So,
well, we're going to go to our quick break right now. I'm Jeannie Murphy. This is Talented People. I hope you're having a good time listening in. It's 3:33 on Wednesday, January 28th, and I'm talking with Doug Snelson, and he's a two-time award-winning book author for children's titles and also a poet. So we're going to learn more about his poetry right after the news and weather. Stay with us.
This is USA Radio News. I'm J.J. Jeffries. It's an offer that could set a precedent for negotiating with the Islamic State group. Jordan says it's willing to release an Iraqi woman prisoner who was involved in deadly hotel bombings a decade ago if the militants release a Jordanian pilot they've been holding since December. The militants have threatened to kill the pilot and a Japanese man they're also holding. Lebanese officials say Israel has responded to a deadly Hezbollah attack by firing at least 50 artillery shells into southern Lebanon. The Hezbollah attack that sparked the violence killed two Israeli soldiers. It's the group's deadliest attack against Israel since a 2006 war between the two sides. A Spanish peacekeeper in southern Lebanon was also killed in the border flare-up. The attack was an apparent retaliation for a deadly airstrike attributed to Israel that killed six Hezbollah fighters in Syria earlier this month. I'm J.J. Jeffries.
In 2002, a National Sleep Foundation poll found that 63% of women had trouble sleeping. Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby. In my opinion, a major reason for insomnia is the Blue Card. It's a shopping and loyalty card, and it's free. That's right, free. No charge, nada. With the Blue Card, you can receive up to 5% cash back on purchases. Most cards only offer 2% at most. No wonder girls can't sleep. With the Blue Card, you can also get shopping points that you could use for online purchases. So it's cash back and shopping points. Am I keeping you awake? If you refer the Blue Card to someone else, you could even earn money on their purchases. No, I'm serious. It's true. But it gets better. If you share the Blue Card with a merchant, you could earn on the purchases of everyone who uses the Blue Card at their store. There is no way you're going to get any sleep until you get your own free Blue Card. So call 800-627-6620 and order your free Blue Card so that you can rest easy again. Call 800-627-6620.
Internet giant Google says its video sharing website YouTube is so inundated that staff cannot filter all terror-related content, complicating the struggle to halt the publication of terrorist propaganda and hostage videos. Google Public Policy Manager Verity Harding said Wednesday that about 300 hours of video material is being uploaded to YouTube every minute, making it virtually impossible for the company to filter all images. She said that to pre-screen those videos before they are uploaded would be like screening a phone call before it's made. Even though the big blizzard predicted by forecasters mostly bypassed New York City, New York's mayor is defending the decision to close roads. Bill de Blasio told NBC's Today Show, "You can't put a price on safety." The storm did dump the predicted 2 feet plus on New England, along with hurricane force winds. This is USA Radio News. I'm J.J. Jeffries.
Did you pay for childcare last year? Did your mom move just down the street and say, "I'll watch the kids while you're at work," and you were like, "Great," but then she said, "Let's discuss rates," and you found out the exact price of Grandma's love, plus overtime and holidays. No matter what you went through last year, answering questions like, "Did you pay for childcare?" is much simpler. Intuit TurboTax. It's amazing what you're capable of.
Speculation continues to swirl around the reports that a U.S. Army sergeant held captive by enemy forces in Afghanistan for 5 years could still be charged with desertion. John Clemens reports.
It would be embarrassing because it was the Obama White House that arranged for the exchange of five Taliban terrorists held at Guantanamo Bay for the release of Army Sergeant Bo Bergdahl. But if Bergdahl left his outpost in Afghanistan in June of 2009 and is charged with desertion, there would be a number of questions for the administration to answer. Reporter Christina Wong of The Hill tells us the Pentagon has a wide range of options.
Court-martial. It could mean non-judicial punishment. It could mean nothing at all. It's really just wide open.
I'm John Clemens.
A cat in Florida is on the mend after clawing his way back from the dead, surfacing 5 days after he was hit by a car and buried for dead, according to the Humane Society of Tampa Bay. Bart the cat is recovering from a broken jaw and facial injury, said the agency, which posted on Twitter images of his successful surgery on Tuesday. One of his eyes was wounded so badly it had to be removed. Bart's seemingly lifeless body was buried after he was hit by a car earlier this month, local media said. 5 days later, he showed up alive in a neighbor's yard, according to the blog post by the Humane Society. Bart seems to be doing well. For the USA Radio Network, I'm J.J. Jeffries.
Okay, welcome back to the show again. This is Jeannie Murphy. This is Talented People. I'm Jeannie Murphy. It's 3:38 on January 28th. I want to just let you know a little bit again about what's going on. One thing that's important if you're listening out there and you are a business owner or if you're in any way associated with records, if it's medical, dental, legal, it doesn't matter. The New Jersey Institute of Technology is hosting an event that I am coordinating under Mariah Media. As you know, Colleen Kelly, my co-host, who's not here right now, but we are Mariah Media, and we're organizing an event at New Jersey Institute of Technology. It's going to be held on March 30th, on Monday, and it's an 8 in the morning until 3 o'clock event on cybersecurity. Our invited keynote is Senator Cory Booker. And we have some of the most tremendous speakers in the forensic and cyber world coming on all day long, in updating and educating, and then also a panel of experts. And it explores everything from the basic. I don't know if you ever noticed, but if you're sitting in like a doctor's office or hospital and you know, log on to your computer and you see, as an example, say Hunterdon Medical Center, you would see HMC and then it would just say guest and it's unsecure. And then you see HMC secured. And you just assume automatically, you know, when you see guest HMC unsecured, that would be part of the medical center or whoever it is. Doesn't matter, any doctor's office. I'm not talking specifically about anything, especially 100 medical centers are awesome. But that's where hackers are actually setting up so they could just sit there and get your stuff. You're not even being hacked. You're offering to be hacked. So this seminar is for business owners from the beginning to the end. If you don't know anything about cyber issues, but you manage physical files that you're converting over to electronic files, or if you are actually a larger corporation and you're considering what happened to some of the larger corporations like Home Depot and Sony and Target, then we want you to come to this event. It's only $35 because it is the New Jersey Institute of Technology, and you can register online at cybersecuritynj.com. And again, the $35 early bird special between now and the 31st of January. If you have questions, you can just go to the site and you can just write info@cybersecuritynj.com. That's important for you to know. Also, with our guest coming up at 5 o'clock, or excuse me, 4 o'clock, just in about 20 minutes, is Carol Gable. And she's going to be talking about Seven Pearls. That Parenting Matters show is hosted by Privo. And we're going to be talking about some of the cyber issues that are going on. So if you're interested in that topic matter, hang around. But now we're back to fun, and we're going to talk about Doug and his poetry. So, Doug, go ahead and tell us a little bit more. You're going to share with us a couple more of your writings.
Well, as we were listening to the commercials, you could have me all here all night. You know, a lot of authors, because I enjoy it so much, a lot of professors, teachers of writing will say to you, write what you know about. Sometimes you write what you experience instead of knowing it. And I have a few examples, which is going to kind of show my age a bit, but that's okay.
That's all right.
That's all right. We're okay with that. Mm. One is remember the Watergate situation. I would write about everything, absolutely everything. So these are three examples of that. This is what I wrote about Watergate, and it's called Expletive Deleted. Again, this one's in rhyming. Had a problem at the White House. Seems that tapes were sorely needed. Missing time and words that spelled expletive deleted. Some people drowned at Watergate when things got really heated. It got so hot as, well, expletive deleted. For looking for some files, there were secrets, it's conceded. Got caught, pants down, and in the act of expletive deleted. So things were getting tricky. Constitution wasn't heated. Did Thomas and Jefferson ever write expletive deleted? I understand that Andrew Jackson thought he'd never be defeated. He drank and smoked, and when he spoke, he expletive deleted. And when Grant and Lee had met at last to patch what had seceded, they signed their names to live in trust, not expletive deleted. If honesty is a policy that shouldn't be impeded, I bet we'd clean the Congress of those expletive deleted. Had a problem at the White House, was a problem deeply seated. But now we got the poor son of a expletive deleted.
Okay, we're Saturday Night Live. That's got to be a spoof. That's got to be. That's hysterical. Okay.
So that was a desire to write that down. I think if you
oh, my gosh. I'm talking talented people. We have a talented people show for a reason, and you are so talented. I love that. That's something that would go viral on YouTube, by the way.
Well, maybe I should read it.
I think you should. You need a little video clip, and you need to have a little fun, and you could be sitting there and do your own Saturday night kind of spoof, and that is hysterical.
Well, any writer...
And it's true.
Any writer who's out there right now and who's listening to this conversation must know how good I feel as genius complimenting me, because has that confidence. You always have that doubt, you know, will people accept what you're trying to communicate.
Well, the thing is, I have a little experience in poetry, but I do know that it is write what you love and so on. But I love it when the poet reads their poetry, because as much as we love it, I think it's a great test to have someone else read it so that you can observe whether or not it actually flows the way that you think it does when you're putting it out there. But when, like you just did that, it is hysterical. It's true. It's awesome, by the way. It's a piece of kind of history at this point, and it's so funny. We got to get some political people. If you're a political blogger out there, come on. We got licensing rights.
Well, then there's the opposite.
Let's hear.
Which is I had was out of the military, was working for a company called, I was working for a hospital supply company. And I would call on hospitals and VA homes and nursing homes. And one day I called on this one particular home. Now, I wrote this, again, this is probably, you know, 20-ish years ago. And things have changed, but it was my experience. So because I think there are a lot of fine workers of people that are working in nursing homes that are obviously doing wonderful things. And as the baby boom generation, and I'm part of that, moves along, we're going to rely on them more and more. So having said that, now I'm going to read this poem.
All right, let's hear.
So this is the old age home. Not a rhyming poem. This is based on a brief comment that was made by an old man in an elevator table, wheeled table. Mm-hmm. And it goes like this. Spaced apart like rundown toys and placed like Monopoly plastic along shine-tiled avenues where wheelbarrowed pink old ladies in pink dresses wear hair in pink curlers that sets all wet all day, where dignity dies. On the elevator, sweepers and weak bearded floor aides share their brooms with the last breath of a supine old white man. The old white man wonders if the inertia from the lift is really the first step to heaven or the last reality of hell. Half beamed and coal-eyed, he speaks. Are you going to Secaucus, buddy? My son will take care of me. Are you going to Secaucus, buddy? I need a ride to Secaucus. This is the place where the ancient antique ones shrivel with the best possible care, where pureed diets make pureed bowel movements for pureed minds, where dignity dies, where crying is as normal as staring at a wall for 12 hours a day, where everyone is a sleeping champion, where Muzak melts into soiled bedsheets. And so, at last, the old white man returns to a distance with rosaries in his brains and blotched skin stains. His hair is silver sparse. Life is no longer a farce for him. Dignity dies.
That is so sad.
That's very sad.
It is. It's so true, though. Really, it is.
Well, and it's, you know.
No, see, I love
it's
it.
It's a piece of it. And
well,
and
it's just, it's true. And it's sad. And poems can be true and sad. And some of those are the most deeply worshipped. Mm. The situation itself is the sad.
Speaks to it.
Yeah.
My father-in-law passed away 2 years ago, and he had
So did mine.
Yeah, he had a very difficult time, and he was, you know, in that situation where he couldn't get out of the one area,
But there's so many points in there. There's so many deep, deep, deep points in there about heaven and the rosaries and also about just dignity itself. You know, we could have a whole other conversation about that, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But I love the poem.
Well, thank you. So I'll keep reading it.
Keep going. We actually needed to go real quick to a commercial break, and then I'm going to do the weather that I forgot about. Okay. Oops. Sorry, sponsors. We'll be right back. Stay with us, talented people, with Doug Snelson, author and poet.
You're listening to HuntingtonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Hi, I'm Glenda Webb, a professionally trained voiceover artist. With my warm, soothing, authoritative vocal style, I will capture the attention of and captivate your potential clients while clearly articulating your message. So whether you simply want a more professional sound to your voicemail, commercials to sell your products, medical or technical productions for presentation or training purposes, or anything in between, remember, Glenda Webb, voiceover artist, is the voice to get you heard. You may contact me at 908-899-1157 or at gcwvoices@gmail.com. Glenda Webb, voiceover artist,
is the voice to get you heard.
I'm Dave Lang with Insight Financial Services and a proud member of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. I believe that our participation and all of the opportunities that the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce offers to its members strongly contributes to our success.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Are you tired of the limitations of your small office shredder? Do you need to be compliant with federal regulations regarding the disposal of sensitive information? Are you concerned about identity theft? If so, then call AssureShred. AssureShred will provide your company customized on-site document destruction service that fulfills regulatory requirements and at the same time protects your organization from the consequences of the improper disposal of sensitive information. To obtain a free quote or to schedule an appointment, call AssureShred at 877-466-1566 today. That's 877-466-1566.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is a Forward New Jersey Coalition member.
For too long in America, we've been putting off funding infrastructure, saying we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. But on August 1st, 2007, hundreds of vehicles tried crossing the I-35 bridge in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and disaster struck. The I-35 bridge collapsed. 13 people were killed, 145 were injured, and traffic was obstructed for over a year. It didn't have to happen. Years before, inspectors had rated the bridge structurally deficient, but they were ignored. In New Jersey, we have 479 bridges carrying 8.2 million vehicles a day that are rated worse, and we can't afford to ignore that. As of June 30th, the state's Transportation Trust Fund will be empty. We need to replenish it so that our roads and bridges can be fixed and future problems prevented. And we can. Go to forwardnewjersey.com to find out how. Paid for by Forward New Jersey.
I'm so glad I met you.
I'm so glad about you, too. You're on the air right now. I'm Jeannie Murphy. This is Talented People. We're having so much fun. Doug Snelson in studio with me. I'm going to give you a real quick update. It's already 3:52, if you could believe it, on Wednesday, January 28th. I can't even believe it's January 28th, much less 3:52. Forecast, okay. If you're in the northeast area today in the New Jersey central area, tonight mostly clear with a low around 7 degrees. Make sure you keep your water on dripping. Thursday, slight chance of snow after 1 p.m., increasing clouds with a high about 33. Snow likely Thursday night, mainly after 1 a.m., cloudy with a low about 25. Slight chance of snow before 1 p.m. on Friday, cloudy, gradually becoming sunny with a high about 33. Mostly clear Friday night with a low about 3. Saturday, sunny with a high 19 and partly cloudy with a low about 7 again on Saturday night. Chance of snow continuing on Sunday, mostly cloudy with a high about 31. And snow likely Sunday night with a low about 22. Chance of snow, mostly cloudy again, 32 on Monday with a partly cloudy low of 5 degrees. Sorry for screaming in your ear, but that's Monday night. So we are in for freezing weather. Bundle up, and let's take the last couple minutes of this show here today to talk with Doug and to let him read a couple more of his writings. I love his poetry, so hope you're enjoying it.
Hello again.
Hello.
Hello. Well, you tell me where...
Gemini.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm a Gemini.
Okay.
But apparently I don't fit the two-sided Gemini. Apparently I'm told most of my sides are up. They're pretty good. There's no two faces there. They're open.
Okay.
So anyway, and then there's a few others here, but I was talking about you know, the signs of the horoscope and all that to somebody, and they were describing who they were, and I said, "Oh yeah, I'm Gemini. I have to write this down." So it was very simple. I got a feeling. It's called Gemini. I got a feeling for the really good. I've got a feeling for the really bad. I know if it's not really good, it's going to be really bad. If it's in between, I'm not glad or sad. I don't know if that's really good or if that's really bad. that's sort of the challenge. You know, you've got to both sides, and then you don't know, and then you're procrastinating on and on and on.
And I love it. That's great. And it's short and hysterical.
You know, sometimes.
Entertaining, isn't it?
It's fun.
I'm talking to the people listening out there. Oh. You are entertaining.
Well, there were two people. You know, when I was in the service, I was in the Marine Corps. I was an officer in the Marine Corps. And I was overseas. And one of my commanding officers was Oliver North, of all people.
Wow. Yeah, he was really? Oliver North,
who was an amazing man. I won't go into that. Whatever your politics, doesn't matter. He was an amazing man. He was an amazing leader.
Wow.
And we were in the northern training area of Okinawa. And there were three other, there was a company, a platoon company. There were three other lieutenants. We had to make presentations. And Oliver North said, you know, do this to the four of us. The four of us got together, the lieutenants, and they said, well, I'm going to be like Captain North. That's what he was at the time. I'm going to be like Captain North. I'm going to do this. I'm going to be like Captain North. And all three of them were going to be like Captain North. And I thought, no, that's not what it's about. So this explanation is longer than the poem, but I wrote On Ollie North, and it's very simple. A man who says of another man, he is my idol, must be very idle himself. And my point was not that he wasn't a great guy. He was. But if you're going to make a name for yourself, don't repeat what other people are doing necessarily. You certainly want to take the best of what they have. But they just wanted to mimic this guy completely.
Right.
Now, he's an amazing leader and always will be. So that's what I wrote. And that sort of inspired me. In fact, I felt better about writing that than anything I was doing in the service at the time.
Well, I was going to say, it's how many words? Maybe 25 or 30?
Yeah, there's 7, maybe 15. Okay.
That's, to me, one of those types of writings that would be handed in to like a Harvard or something, and then everybody stops and says, wow, that's interesting.
Idol versus idol.
Amazing.
Our country, I mean, again, not getting into politics, but there's a tendency for a lot more, I'm going to use the word idol, you know, celebrities,
right,
and
right.
That kind of thing. Younger people looking to them instead of looking to people who are in science, mm-hmm. who are in education, mm-hmm. who are in medicine, who are leaders in their own right.
All right. Well, I'm amazed. I'm so glad I met you, like you said before, too, because I get to see how... You know, you've got such an immense amount of talent. Let's just hear another one before the end of the show.
All right, well, I'll read the one that I read last time I saw, Noisy Pants Squeaky
love
Shoes.
It. I love it. It's hysterical.
Which I'm making into a book. So, and I read this to the kids during my reading programs. And this happened to me. I have squeaky shoes. And I had, you know, those noisy pants. We all have them. But at wintertime, corduroy. I'm wearing corduroy today. Here we go. Noisy pants, squeaky shoes, walking down the hall. What's the link to how they think? Do they think I'll fall? Noisy pants, squeaky shoes, walking all day long. Is the sound on the ground just a running song? Does each boot try to root for each leg to hum? Does each stride stretch and glide to a beating drum? Does each sock like to rock to music from my toes? Do my laces form strange faces all tied up in prose? Noisy pants, squeaky shoes, singing in the rain. Will a sprinkle make a wrinkle on my pants again? Noisy pants, squeaky shoes, the rain has stopped. I'm pleased. Thanks so much. Oh, it's this I hear? Oh, no, my creaking knees.
As in last time, it's just hysterical. That is such a funny poem. And you're going to make that into a book?
I'm going to make that into a book. We're working on that one.
Yeah. Is your daughter going to illustrate?
Yes. My daughter is... flies all over the place because she's a very talented shoe designer and also does the illustrations for the books, but I need a little more of her time, you know, to make things happen.
So exciting. Well, we're at the end of the show already, Doug. Thank you so much. Do you have anything you want to leave everybody with?
Well, thank you, Gina. I just, you motivate me. I appreciate it. I enjoy this. You've helped me so much on a lot of obvious and not so obvious ways in terms of just who I am professionally. If anybody's interested in my reading programs, I'd love them to, you know, they could email me at doug@petalus.com, petalus.com, or go to, my last name is Snelson. They could Google me, find my website, send me a quick message, and I'll get right back to them. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Doug. And if you're out there listening, you can see how much fun he is in person. It's just as fun as you can get. So I hope you guys, thanks for listening, and I hope you stand by for the next show, Parenting Matters. Again, our guest is Carol Gable. She's the former vice president of the State of New Jersey Chamber of Commerce and also the state of Delaware. And she's going to come in talking about a company called Seven Pearls. We're going to be sharing with you a bunch of information about cybersecurity. So hope you stand by. Again, I want to thank you, Doug, so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Jeannie.
And we'll be back. I will have you again soon. So stand by between the news and weather. We'll be right back. Thank you so much for listening.
This is USA Radio News. I'm J.J. Jeffries. It's an offer that could set a precedent for negotiating with the Islamic State group. Jordan says it's willing to release an Iraqi woman prisoner who was involved in deadly hotel bombings a decade ago if the militants release a Jordanian pilot they've been holding since December. The militants have threatened to kill the